It worries me that we have two fighters, like getting two boxers into a ring. Okay, guys, you're not allowed to hit each other.
What are we going to do? We're going to talk to each other until one of you falls over.
We're going to have a discussion about who's the world champ.
Mark, how's it? How are you this morning?
Well, you know, I've been looking out in the wild as away this weekend. I could see nothing but canoes wherever I looked. Okay, it's canoey, Tim. It's canoey. No, we don't have a majority party that can create a government. So what are the alternatives available to us? Because you've got a week, which not long.
All right, I'm glad you're asking me that question because I happen to know the answer.
So that'll be a first, yeah.
There are three possibilities. The GNU, as you mentioned. There is a coalition, and there's something called a supply and confidence agreement. So the GNU is where everybody gets together. And we're all together, in it together. It's in one big ship. Not every single party has to join, but, you know, a lot of them. The idea is that everybody just climbs in and accept the people who don't want to.
And we kind of split the spoils, right? Do we kind of sit there and we go, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I want this ministry and you have that chairman and whatever. So, you know, it sort of works. It's a bit like I remember on holidays when they're choosing volleyball sides, okay? And you just hope like hell you're not the last person to get chosen. Okay, I want this guy, I want that guy. So it's a bit like that.
Yeah.
According to your votes, you get more choices.
Yeah, exactly. The disadvantage is that it's actually very unstable because, you know, if one group decides that they are going to step out, then the whole, you know, pile of cards just suddenly comes tumbling down. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So what is the sustainability? Having dealt the cards out, then what happens? You carry on by way of some goodwill and trust.
Yes.
You must remember we're dealing politics yet. So how is it good from there? What's the binding law?
You say politics, trust, somehow it just doesn't work. Anyway, the second option is a coalition. And a coalition is just between a more limited set of partners. And in this case, as we know, there is the possibility of an ANC-DA coalition. And they have enough votes to make a parliament. And then there's also an ANC-EFF coalition. And they are just short. But fortunately, there are a couple of parties there that are, you know, small enough and will make up the one seat that they're short. But anyway, so it would be a ANC-EFF coalition.
Now, what about MK? I mean, ANC can tie up with MK and they can form a government.
Yes. Now, that is technically possible. Unfortunately, the MK party does not seem to want to do that at all. I mean, they don't even want to sit in parliament. So, you know, being part of a coalition is like a bit of a stretch.
Well, you raise an interesting thing, because however this finally works, okay, to be sworn in as a member of parliament, you have to, in one of the lines, you have to say, oh, yeah, I swear to abide by the constitution and, you know, and the constitution rules. And the MK party, as I recall, in their manifesto, reject the constitution as a matter of their, you know, purpose in life. And so they could never get into parliament on those two conditions. But anyway, okay, so I'm hoping for a GNU.
Okay, I don't hold you.
But then we have a coalition.
Are you hoping for a GNU because you want to sing the GNU song?
I want common purpose. Okay, that's what I want.
Okay.
I want common purpose and national pride to prevail. You know what worries me, Tim, is they talk about negotiating this week. But actually, the same people that spend their times arguing against each other, almost by definition, you've got a ruling party and an opposition and a this and that, and now they have to construct a deal, not win a fight. Okay, and it worries me that we have two fighters, like getting two boxers into a ring. Okay, guys, you're not allowed to hit each other. Okay. What are you going to do is you're going to sit down and have a discussion about who gets the title.
We're going to talk to each other until one of you falls over.
We're going to have a discussion about who's the world champ. Okay, so what do you think, James? Well, I want to be the world champ. No. Oh, and eventually what they do is they say, forget about this talking thing. Let's have a fight. Okay.
I don't know. You tell me, Tim.
Okay, and then we get a coalition. What's standing?
So then the third possibility is this thing called the supply and confidence agreement.
Yeah.
It's a sort of limited form of a coalition. You know, there's some ideas that this is what the DA should offer is you agree to support the larger party's nominee for president. You agree to vote against no confidence votes and you agree to pass the budget. And that's it. And all you get is the chairpersonships of some of the
portfolio committees,
the parliamentary group. So now the reason that might work is because actually the ANC doesn't want to go into coalition with the DA. They are ideologically miles apart. From a policy point of view, they're miles apart. But this might work. And the ANC doesn't want to go into coalition with the EFF, I don't think, because then that will be hard for the ANC.
To be honest, since the election, all the news I've got has been false news. It's proven to be false news. Okay. I mean, every now and again, I get like a message from someone saying, oh, no, hang on, they're going to announce something this evening at 6 o'clock. You know? And you go, okay, and you wait, and 6 o'clock comes and goes, and nothing happens. Then you go, oh, no, that was false news. So I've stopped speculating about who wants to do what. I've started wishing that they all see some sense. And to be fair, I think there has been a realization as a result of our election that the status quo is not good enough and it's not going to be same-same. And we, the informed population, informed by our experience, demanding some change. And if you guys want to stay in charge, you better get to some sensibles. I mean, I'm excited about that possibility. Is that possible? Is it going to happen? Or are we just going to stay in our corners and have another election? And then my question is, do we have to use the right thumb this time? Because my thing is still on my left thumb.
Yeah. I mean, it's so nice that you asked these questions of me as though I might possibly know the answer, because obviously I don't. But I do agree with you on one thing, and that is, you know, one of the people I know who's been involved in these discussions, he says, you know, it's absolutely amazing how nice the ANC has been.
Yeah.
They open the door. They say, thank you. They say, please. They say, would you sit down? They serve the tea.
Yeah, be first. We've had enough.
And yeah. Small thing, but I think it's actually interesting because it just means that entering into an era of cooperation now, and that is one thing that we sort of need, I think, and we need to think about each other's positions. And
I just hope they're all taking advice. If you look at the negotiation teams as they were published in the Sunday Times this weekend, you know, it's not people who've shown evidence of being able to reach consensus. And so you hope that they're well advised. And we've seen the failure of coalitions almost without exception at a municipal level, okay? Where people all agree to go in and then they appoint, for example, in Johannesburg, a mayor from a tiny party so that they can all control that person and they don't have to put up with each other. And so that is not an acceptable result. But I do think a strong intersection of agreement is necessary for the control-alt-delete attitude we have to have in this country towards long-term fixed direct investment and various other things. I don't think a fractured, you know, fighting each other government is going to get us out of the mire. I think we need strong government in order to be able to make decisions. What's your take on that, Matt?
I don't like strong governments. I'm not saying you should have a weak government, but I just don't like the idea of very dominant governments, because very dominant governments start off doing the right thing and they end up doing the wrong thing. And there's no one to stop them. And sometimes it works like a bomb and sometimes it is a bomb. So I think net-net, it's better to have a situation in which all sides need to cooperate, A, and B, are always suspicious of each other.
I understand a balance of power, but if the only way you can reach that, for example, would be to say, okay, we're going to appoint professional executives to run all of the departments instead of appointing one of our own, as so to speak, then I think that's huge progress towards a separation of political party ambition and practical necessity of function. Okay. And that would be a huge step forward to me. And that sort of professional body of execution, the DGs and the CEOs of SOEs and so on, that can survive a change in government if it is competent and delivering. And so that's what I'm hoping for. And I, you know, maybe I'm just an eternal optimist because, you know, I don't know, democracy is about getting to power, not necessarily doing anything with it.
You know, all over the world, there's been examples of coalitions that don't work and have fallen apart. And we, as you say, we've had examples of those in local governments in South Africa. But you know what does work? You know what coalitions have worked historically have been the German coalitions in the German system. And the interesting thing about German coalitions is they're extremely teutonic about the arrangements. They sign these very detailed 200-page alliance agreements before they go into power with each other. It's amazing. Those 200-page agreements, you know, they specify things like you can't bring new legislation without informing the other side. You don't have to have them support you, but, you know, they're not obliged in every single case to support you, but you do have to inform the other. Everything is organized. Kind of dissolution is organized. I think that has a good chance of working.
Yeah, but what makes it stick? Is it protected by a constitution or just a set of laws? Is it enforceable contract? Because it seems to me we've had coalition contracts, but every now and again you just have a vote of no confidence which overrules everything you've done up to then, and then you get into the same twist and remorse that you had before you started agreeing. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's possible. But I mean, it is interesting that in Germany, you know, they've had coalitions between the two largest parties. I mean, it's incredible. Technically speaking, sort of polar opposites. And mostly, you know, the parties come out of the other side with the same support base that they had when they went in. You know, it doesn't seem to harm either side. You know, that's the problem with coalitions, is that you end up coming out the other side weaker than when you went in.
Now, my concern is that in making comparisons to relatively homogeneous societies, we fall short in that definition. We are a seriously diverse society with any number of parallel hierarchies and requirements on all kinds of metrics. And so, you know, there's no such thing as a South African. I mean, there is such a thing as a South African, but it includes a huge broad definition of different peoples with different religions and different, you know, hierarchies of government in their own personal lives and so on and so on. So, look, we've only got, listen, I suppose it's going to happen next Tuesday because Monday's a public holiday, but next Tuesday they have to be in Parliament, by my reckoning. It's a week today, yep, plus a public holiday.
Yep, that's right. You know, MK Party is trying to claim that there was fraud at the polling booths and it wants a new election.
Yeah, whatever.
So here's my question.
My answer to that is whatever.
No, but here's my question. What if the ANC agrees?
Because they think the outcome will change.
Well, what would happen, do you think, if we did the election again?
Well, first of all, the IEC in law has declared the election free and fair, so that's the end of the discussion. But for the sake of amusement, okay, or bemusement, okay, I think it could go either way. So people could sort of got this wake-up call and go, okay, hang on. We want the ANC back in power. We didn't think we'd lose it. We'd just give them a bit of a wake-up call. And so you could have a rush of ANC supporters coming out. Or you could have that the MK just is doing this to get over 50% in KZN. And so they do that. What I do think will happen, though, with some certainty in my view, is that we'll get more people voting. People will come out and go, okay, hang on. We can't have this confusion again. We now need to make our mark, our cross, okay? And so that would be a good thing. But can you imagine the next 3 months? I don't know what happens in the next 3 months absent a government.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, constitutionally, the old government continues to run the country until it's replaced by the new government. I don't think that's the problem. Anyway, it's just interesting to me that the MK party, which got far more votes than any political poll said they would, is still complaining about the number of votes they got. I mean, went from nowhere to being, you know, 15% of the electorate. I mean, by most standards, that would be regarded as absolutely fantastic. And actually, I do think if we do hold the election again, if that's the end of all of this confab, then MK might very well reduce its vote just by virtue of the fact that ANC members on the fence will come forward.
Tim, I'm going to ask us to wait and see, because we can speculate, yeah, the combinations until, you know, time immemorial. Now, you know what I've seen now, which is a sort of a decentralization of power, is that now in Johannesburg, we have a new thing. That new thing is called load reduction, okay, which is different from load shedding. Load shedding is a deliberate switching off of the supply, okay, to certain areas, and it's supply driven. It's a supply constraint driven thing. In Joburg, we now, and I experienced it this morning, we have a demand driven thing, which says that the city power of Johannesburg can reduce access to electricity because of excess local demand. I quite like the notion that this is becoming a more focused, specific way of controlling our energy consumption and our, you know, supply and demand curve. So I think in most things we could do well by decentralizing municipal, you know, controls and understanding, because we can watch each other. We live down the street.
For you as the user, what is the difference between load shedding and load reduction? I mean, in both cases, it means you don't have electricity.
No, I don't agree with that. Yes, the ultimate result is no, but the motivation and the consequence is different. So if Johannesburg then starts behaving by not using its electricity as much, you know, then there will be no reduction. It's driven by us and our behavior. It's driven by our demand, not by this Eskom supply.
Okay.
And so I think that can affect behavior far more, you know, can create vested interests. So, I mean, it's an interesting phenomenon that that's come out of the system.
All right. So now, do you know a lipstick brand called Estee Lauder?
This is going to surprise and disappoint you. Oh, yes, I've heard of Estee Lauder. I thought it was a magazine company, isn't it? Yeah, it's a perfume house, right? Okay, yeah, I've heard of it.
Have you heard of a brand called Sephora?
Never in my life.
Okay. Well, Sephora has just come out with their results, and they have had record sales this year. And why is that a bad thing? One asks oneself.
If one likes to.
Yeah.
Tell me, go to my can't bear this screen. Tell me what's happening.
Okay, apparently there's something called the lipstick index. And the lipstick index basically is an inverse relation to the strength of the economy. So it's theoretically a leading indicator that actually the economy is not as strong as you might hope. And the reason is people who might have bought more expensive things are now buying something small, which will make them feel better. So it suggests consumers are feeling kind of down. They're looking for something cheap and colorful and bright that will make them feel better, and they buy lipstick.
So it's feel sad, look happy.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. So you paint a smile onto your face. Essentially, that's the, I'm going to go and get myself some because I need some of that sometimes.
What would look so great with lipstick? It'd just be great.
Yeah, I know I would. I know. I guess I get it. All right. Well, that's something. You learn something every day. Lipstick is a leading indicator, not, you know, interest rate outlooks or supply and demand, all those old-fashioned measures. Okay. So, Tim, we're nearly out of time. I've got a couple of numbers. Would you like one?
Okay. Okay, hit me.
The two numbers I have. The first one is that I read it somewhere that the U.S. Postal Service is just raising $40 billion to do an overhaul because it's not doing as well as it should or could have or used to do. So post around the world is not what post used to be around the world. In fact, it's anything but around the world, but you have to reposition them, which is what we try to do. And then another U.S. statistic I've got is, guess what the total outstanding debt in the U.S. is, which has to be settled within a year?
I'm going to guess, and this is just a kind of completely blind guess, I'm going to guess it's a lot.
Yeah, you know, you're close again. It's $93 trillion U.S. dollars. It's a lot, eh? But it's probably not such a lot. They'll have another one of those discussions between the Republicans and the Democrats, and they'll lift the ceiling and do this and do that. Anyway, those are my numbers.
Listen, it's $100 trillion.
Yeah, it's nothing. I can put it on my credit card. But talking about big numbers, Tim, do you know that we're now heading for baby bust, which is the opposite of baby boom? Okay, so baby bust, it says that they're not enough babies being born, and that is because the population worldwide of people below 14 is decreasing, whilst the population of people above 65 is increasing. Now, Tim, there's only one way to deal with this problem, and that is mandatory reproduction. So here we go.
Mark, slightly wishful thinking on your part, perhaps. I'm just
right. So sex is now going to be subsidized by the government. All right. Here we go.
There will be enforcement mechanisms, obviously. All right. Well, on that note, I better leave you alone because, you know,
things to do, places to go.
We don't know what will happen.
I'm too old.
We're both yellow carded on this issue.
Have a good week. It's a big one, guys. A big one.
Mark, thank you very much. And it's going to be an exciting week. And I'll speak to you again next week.
100%.